This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Today's message is titled, Discipleship, Part 1. Discipleship means waking people up out of their sleep. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
My assignment from God is to talk to you about what God has talked to me about. It's nothing new that I'm going to write. There's no new revelation, no new insight, no new nothing. It is just what God has challenged me. And what I feel God has challenged me to do is talk to you about where our church is going in 2024. And I'm preaching it because I want you to go with me. Again, thank all 18 of y'all for... Too late to clap now. It's too late. Y'all are latecomers. This 10:30 crowd is a little late, a little slow. Y'all on the short bus. Because I thought y'all would jump right in and get with it. I thought y'all were the most spiritual people. I want to talk about the fact that some of you know I'm the president of Converge. It's a denomination that our church is a part of. I'm also the chairman of the board of the National Association of Evangelicals. It represents 45,000 churches around the country. And what I've come to recognize and realize is that a lot of these churches have failed to do what it is Jesus has assigned for the church to do. And it's tragic, it's sad, it's terrible, it's horrific. In Matthew 28, turn your Bibles to Matthew 28. This is what I want to preach about for a few moments. In verses 18, 19, and 20, Jesus gave what has been called the Great Commission. He gave the assignment to the church to do certain things that unfortunately we have failed to do. And that's what I want to spend just a moment talking about with you all tonight. I'll be finished when I get done. And it says this. Let me read verse 18, 19, and 20 of Matthew 28. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. What a profound challenge. These are Jesus' last words before he ascends into heaven. This is his marching orders. This is his instructions to the church. This is what he told us to do. And the problem is we've done everything but that. A lot of churches around the country have done good at making people good Democrats or good Republicans. We've actually made people good church members. We haven't made them good disciples. And it's tragic, it's a problem, it's sad, because the world looks at us and sees how reckless the church has been, how backwards and wrong the church has been, and they have been frustrated because when they look at us with an expectation, they don't see what it is they anticipated. And it is a problem, it is a tragic deal. And I thought I should talk to you about it today. And I thought I ought to talk to you about it because I know that this church, this crowd, this audience, this time is just like the crowd that Jesus spoke to when he gave these instructions. Because in verse, they're not going to put this on the screen because I didn't tell them, but in some earlier verses right here of this passage, let me see. In verse 17, Jesus speaks to the disciples in verse 17 of this 28th chapter. It says that when they saw him, they say they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some people worshiped him, but some people doubted him. Some people recognize the need to give him praise and worship. They recognize that it was him who opened up doors. It was him who answered their prayers. It was him who made a way, and they worshiped him. But then there were some who were still wondering, is he the cat that he said he was? Don't be tricked or fooled. There's some worshipers here tonight, and there are some doubters here tonight. Look up and down your row and see if you can figure out who the doubters are. Go ahead, look up and down and see if you can figure out. There's some in your section. There's some people in your section who have doubted that Jesus is who he said he was. I don't know where y'all are, but I decided that I'm going to be a worshiper. I recognize he's worthy of my worship. I believe he is God in the flesh. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead with all power in his hands. I believe he's coming back again. I believe that what he has done in my life makes him worthy of all of my praise. You don't have to ask me. You don't have to promote me. You don't have to exhort me, beg me, encourage me, cheerlead me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think of the doors he's opened and the miracles he's wrought and the prayers he answered, I unapologetically give him the glory. I unapologetically give him the praise. Somebody say, he's worthy of all of our praise. What he has done in my life, he is worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my exalting him and giving him all the glory. These are some critical instructions that he gave, critical and very important. But here's what the problem is. Here's where I want to celebrate is when Jesus gives us instructions, he gives us generally, I find this pattern throughout all the scripture. I see a principle, I see a program, and then I see a promise. Somebody say principle, program, and a promise. A principle, a truth of his word, a truth that he wants applied and understood, a principle, and then I see a program, I see a way to implement what he's told us to do, and then I see a promise. I see that pattern throughout scripture, and it's right here in this text too, a principle, program, and a promise. But before I give you the principle and the program, let me talk for a moment about the promise. Here's the promise right here in the latter part of verse 20. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, look, if you believe the principle and you follow the program, here's what he said. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What am I trying to tell you? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If we do the stuff that God wants us to do, if we walk in the path he wants us to walk in, if we apply the things he's telling us to apply, it don't matter what happens, don't matter what people say, no matter what goes on, whatever situation we face, he said, I'll be with you. I don't know if there's anybody here who understands how significant and how important it is to have Jesus with you through everything that you're going through. He was with the Hebrew boys when they were in the fiery furnace. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with Paul and Silas in jail. And guess what? He will be with you in the middle of whatever troubling situations you face. Somebody tell yourself, he'll be with me wherever I'm going through, whatever I'm going through, through the pain of your sickness and disease, through the difficulties of your marriage, through the frustration of your rebellious children, when you've been fired from your job, when people who you love don't care about you and walk out of your life. Jesus said, it's okay, I will still be with you. I don't know where y'all are, but I want to give God praise because I've discovered through all of the stuff in my life, he's always been with me. Now, the question may be asked, how can God be with everybody at the same time? How is that possible for him to walk with everybody at the same time? That's where the principle comes in, because the principle is in verse 18. And here's the principle. It says all authority. Here's the principle. Verse 18. I'm rushing through this. My time is running out. We're approaching 12 o'clock. Y'all not getting it. Let me just go ahead and jump to the thing. Let me go ahead and tell you. All authority, he says, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I want to shout right there. I want to pause and celebrate. He said, I can be with you because God gave me all authority. All authority has been given to me. That's the principle that God has all power. Power to deliver, power to heal, power to save, power to fix what's broken in your life, power to meet your needs, power to change your situation and your circumstances. Any situation you face or are in, Jesus has the power to change it. Do I have anybody here who believes that we serve a God that has the power and the ability to change whatever you are facing? Somebody high-five your neighbor, say, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. I believe he can fix my situation. I believe he can turn it around. I believe that we serve a God who has the power and the ability. Hold up. He says he's got the power, he's got the authority. All authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. Oh, I feel a shout right there. What are you shouting about? I'm shouting because it means this. It means that Jesus said he has power on heaven and in earth. And if we declare it and believe it on earth, he will say amen to it in heaven. And if he says amen in heaven, it will happen on earth. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but let me declare to you, when you step out of 2023 and into 2024, you're going to see God show that he does have all power. He does have all authority. He can fix your situation. He can turn it around. I believe God can turn things around. All authority, all power is given to him. But with that power, he tells us this. I'm giving you some instructions. He says, the principle is I got all authority. It's been given to me in heaven and on earth. I can do whatever it is. God gave me all authority, all power. Therefore, God says in verse 19, therefore, go therefore. Since he has all power, I'm giving you power to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing, baptizing. I know so many people have reduced baptism to just dipping somebody in water. It means so much more than that. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He means you not only baptize them in water, but you immerse them in the presence of who God is. That you dip them in the knowledge of who God is. That you feel them. You feel the capacity of their thinking. People's minds have been filled with Snoop Dogg. They've been filled with Beyonce. They've been filled with Taylor Swift, Taylor Slow, whatever her name is. They've been dipped in that. When he said, baptize them. Let their minds and hearts and lives be immersed in the presence of who God is. Now, my assignment, here's what I got the assignment, is to tell you what the program is, that we have a program and an assignment from God to make disciples of all nations, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of where they come from, regardless of what they're doing or where they are, we are assigned to make disciples of all nations. Hold up, I forgot to tell you what a disciple is. A disciple is a doer of the word. Now notice the scriptures did not say, go therefore and make believers. We got a lot of believers. We don't have enough disciples. The problem with believers is the devils believe. The Bible says the devil believes, but he's not a doer. God has called us to be disciples. That means we're to take the teachings of God's word and apply it to our life and then live it out. We ought to be doers of the word. We ought to replicate in our day-by-day living the principles that Jesus taught. That's what we are called to do. He didn't say make believers. The devil does that. He told us to make disciples. Somebody say, tell your neighbor, make disciples. We are commanded. Oh, yeah, we done made good church members. We done told them where to sit, where not to sit. We done told them what to do, what not to do, how to sing, how not to sing, how to be a good usher. We done told them how to be good ushers. We've told them all of that kind of stuff, what section in the church they can sit in, where they can't sit in, what they ought to do, how they ought to pay, where they ought to go. We done all of that, but that's not what he told us to do. He said, I want you to make disciples. And I've come today to tell you that where our church is going, this is where we're going. We're going to put our discipleship program on steroids. lot of people saying they are a member of First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, but have not been through any discipleship program. I'm tired of people saying that people proudly say they are a member of First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. Yeah, we are the in place to be. But I'm not interested in people having just their name on the roll. I'm interested in people who are willing to be disciples. And that's the word that God gave to me to tell you that it is time for us to take our discipleship commitment to the next level. And so we're going to be implementing in 2024 a programs or strategies. That's not the right word. Program's not the right word. Strategies to get you off of your asteroids That's not the word I wanted to say. I feel God has called us to press people to get, if you take Jesus seriously, you will not stand before the judgment seat of God and say that the pastor and the church didn't tell me what I needed to do. Our assignment is to get you in the Word, walking in the Word, living in the Word, doing the Word, being obedient to the Word, applying the Word, studying the Word, understanding the Word, living the Word, quoting the Word, and being the Word. Now, it's not just that. It's not only our job to disciple you, but you have a responsibility to take what you have learned and teach it to somebody else. I knew y'all wasn't gonna shout and dance, and I didn't think, did nobody bring any money over here? But I'm in the Word, whether y'all know it or not. This is the Word. This is what I'm saying. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and then of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. I got to ask you a question. When is the last time have you been through a discipleship program? Go ahead, ask your neighbor. I'm awake. Go ahead, ask the person sitting next to you. Wait for their answer. Have you been through any of our disciples? You a member of the church. Have you been through brothers in discipleship, sisters in discipleship, couples in discipleship, financial discipleship, young adult discipleship, youth discipleship? Have you been through any of them? But you claim to be a member. I'm preaching what y'all say. I'm on it. Because a whole lot of y'all like to come here and say that this is your church, but you haven't even joined yet. I'm telling y'all ahead of time so you won't get mad. When you come and you want the church to do something for you, I'm telling you right now, we are making disciples. Now, my question is, are you a disciple? My question is, have you taken what you've learned and taught somebody else? Have you poured into somebody else? By the way, you don't have to teach a class to be a discipler. Now, let me tell you what I do. Let me tell you what I've done. Because that's my lifestyle, is discipling people. And I made it a practice. I had a practice of having a prayer partner. And every morning getting up at the same time, getting on the phone and going through a chapter every day at that set time. Reading a chapter, and I'd read the first half, they read the second half, then we flipped it the next day, they'd read the first half of the chapter, then I'd read the first, and then we talk about what in that chapter spoke to us. And I took the time to explain and teach whoever it is I was discipling at the time, teaching them what I knew and what I understood about those passages, one-on-one. Amen, Pastor. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you today? Everybody in here can do that. One-on-one. That's what we need to be doing. Winning them to the Lord, sharing the gospel with them, sharing the word of God, sharing life with them. That's what God has called us to do. And my assignment is to tell you that that's the assignment that God wants you to do. My question is, who have you led to the Lord? Who have you discipled in your life? I asked you a question. And then after a while, after I did that for a season with that person, I would say to them, okay, we've been doing this now for several months now. I'm going to release you, and I want you to go and find somebody else that you can do with them what I have just done with you. And you know what I believe? I believe when we do that, I believe when we walk in that way, I believe when that's the practice of our life, God says, I will be with you. Y'all not hearing me. And that's why God helped us to pay off this mortgage in this building. That's why God works miracles in my life. That's why God is opening up doors that nobody can close. God's doing miracles for me because he know I am a discipler. And it's time for me to try to raise and elevate the temperature. And it's my assignment. It's my call. It's my destiny. It's my gifting. It's my anointing. It's my passion to get you off of your behind and get you doing what it is Jesus has commanded us to do. Now my time is running out. Who am I preaching to today? Come here. Come here. I need to pray. If this is for you, come here. I need to pray for you. Get up out your seat and come down here. I need to pray for you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. I need you to hurry up and come down here. If God is speaking to you, challenging you, trying to make a change in you, quickly come down here. I'm going to pray for you quickly. I got just a few minutes. Hurry up. Hurry up. Let me tell you how proud I am that you have the courage to come down here in the midst of all of these people. A whole bunch of people, more people should be down here. Y'all encourage them since y'all scared to come down here. Y'all encourage them. I'm proud of you. 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 Every one of you have a destiny. And guess what? Here's what I want you to mark. I want you to mark this on your calendar, that the day that you start getting in the discipleship program and the day you start discipling somebody else, you're going to see God begin to walk with you. Did y'all see that in the text? He says, and I will be with you always. Even to the end of the world, even to the end of whatever drama you're going through, whatever your pain is. When he says even to the end of the age, that means no matter what you go through, he said, I'm going to be with you. They might fire you from your job, but I'm going to still take care of you. They may talk about you and dislike you, but I got your back. That's what he's saying. And you know what? If Jesus is with you, you can handle anything in life that you have to go through. Y'all up here, y'all serious? All right, I'm going to see. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see and find out. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every last one of these persons that has pressed their way in the name of Jesus. I pray that they would take serious what they've said today. They've come down here, God, honestly, and I pray that you work miracles, that you show yourself strong and mighty, that they will take what they've learned, Father, and put it into the life of others. Share it with us and tell them to don't stop learning, Father. I pray that you help them to continue to learn and continue to be discipled, to continue to apply what they've learned in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you rebuke every hand of the enemy that has sought to discourage them and frustrate them, but use them in a super mighty way, God, to help change our world and change our community. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Give yourselves a hand. Now, the devil's going to tell you that you have to learn everything before you teach others. That's a lie. You ain't going to never learn and know everything. just take whatever you've learned and teach it to other people. Matter of fact, as you learn it, as soon as you learn it, start teaching somebody else what you learned. Did y'all get that? I'm proud of you. Now, y'all got 5 minutes to get back to your seat. Y'all give them a hand as they're on their way back. Amen. Hug them. Give them a hug when they come back. Give them a hug when they come back. All right, we got 8 minutes that we're going to sing and bring in the new year. Somebody say farewell. 2023, I'm through with you. Somebody say, I'm ready for 2024. I'm ready for the page to turn. I'm ready for God to do a new thing. I'm ready for God to walk with me and talk with me. I'm ready for God to fight my battles. I'm ready for him to be victorious. I'm ready to see him open up doors that no man can close. Somebody say, I'm ready. I've been down long enough. I've been frustrated long enough. I've been crying long enough. I've been hurt long enough. But I'm ready for God to take me into a new dimension, into a new season. Somebody say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Goodbye, 2023. I'm through with you, 2023. I cried enough in 2023. I was stressed out in 2023, but I'm going to a new place in a new level and a new season. I'm ready.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. A disciple is a doer of what Jesus taught. We are to be disciples and make disciples. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.